And story number three is then chronologically, at the end of the Cold War, I came back to the United States. And in, I guess it would have been 1992, I was up at MIT giving a lecture. And the secretary in the department came in to the classroom and said, oh, you've got to call your office in Carlisle right away. And I did so. And my assistant here told me that she had been contacted kind of with some degree of hysteria from Johns Hopkins, where I'd been teaching over in Italy. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to know that I was the front page of the Repubblica, the main newspaper, one of the main newspapers in Italy.
Oh, wow.
And the title of the article was, "The Sixth Man Was an American Professor." And so they sent me, faxed me very quickly a copy of the cover page. And what they meant by the sixth man was that at the end of the Cold War, Western governments started to get access to these spy archives over in East Bloc. Mm-hmm. And the most active spies, or certainly among the most active spies, were in Czechoslovakia. And the Czech Secret Service were particularly busy in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as the archives got opened up, experts started to go into them. And at this point, they had found five Italian government officials or Italian scholars who had been in the pay of the East Bloc,
mm-hmm.
and had been spying in a kind of a, you know, just general information providing.
Yeah.
And mine was the sixth name to come up in the archives. And indeed, the newspaper actually had me backwards. I was Stuart Douglas. And the article actually said, "Stuart Douglas will probably be surprised. He is back in the United States now. Will probably be surprised to know that his name has come up," and things like this. And the article speculated that maybe I wasn't, like the other five people, a spy, because the other five all had code names, and I did not. And so consequently, I mean, talk about how stupid the logic was, that the fact that I did or did not have a code name mattered at
yeah.
all. Yeah. But anyway, I immediately got on the phone to the Italian embassy in Washington, and I said, look, you know, I read the Repubblica. I'm the guy. I'm happy to come down to the embassy for interviews. I'm happy to discuss this with anybody you want me to discuss this with.
Mm-hmm.
And being good Italians, they had no interest in anything. They just said, okay, okay. You know, I gave them my phone number and never heard from them again. I did wonder if I would get on some kind of a computer list, and that the next time I went to Italy, I would set off some kind of an alarm when I got to the border. And then I reminded myself that I'm talking about Italy. And the prospect of that happening was pretty small. And in fact, I never heard anything from anybody about it. But I guess if there is a punchline to these three stories, it's first off how pervasive this spying was, particularly for folks that just found themselves doing research in certain kinds of areas. And second, how really kind of uninteresting these people were. Who were spies. They were just, I think in my experience anyway, people who were just trying to pick up a little extra pocket money or just fell into this position and you know thought it was a good idea for them to be doing this. I subsequently concluded that in my case, you know, the reason why my name had been in the files was because there was a person who I knew, who I worked with occasionally, who was an influential Italian scholar,
mm-hmm.
and was the head at that time of a think tank in Rome. And he was one of the five. And I came to the conclusion that what was going on here was he had to deliver on a regular basis some degree of some information. He had
mm-hmm.
to justify his existence. And at one point, because I did NATO stuff, he started treating me as if I were providing him with all this high-level top secret stuff, which of course was absolutely untrue. He was elevating the significance of my stuff to justify his own existence and his own salary.
Oh, wow.
And again, so the message was, you know, these are just so much less interesting than the kind of people that you see on TV or in the movies involved in spying. But it was also just a function of how pervasive spying was during the Cold War.